Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends and my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Yoda Man, Ron Martin. I feel, Pipe, like Ron's Yoda game has taken, it's gone to even greater heights in the last couple weeks, in that a new thing has happened, and I don't know if you get this too, Pipe. I have people now who will screenshot me some of Ron's Yoda work. And text it to me and ask me to interpret for him, like, what the blank is this? And I just kind of, via text, just kind of shrug, and I'm just like, that's Ron doing Ron stuff.
Baby, I didn't know I was becoming that obscure. I thought I was hoping
who can know the mind of Ron, you know? I mean, it's always like pastors, dot, 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 something about how it's okay if your sermon sucks, something about, like, humility, and I'm like, I don't know, it's above my pay grade, but... That's Ron doing Ron stuff, you know.
We need to do the same thing for you and be like, professors, it's okay if your lecture sucks or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I should just get into the professor Yoda game.
You need an academic boost, just like pastors need a ministry boost.
I do. I feel like there's a – that might be my 2020 thing, boys. Maybe I get on Twitter and I become Professor Yoda.
I like it.
I don't get the screenshots because since I'm on Twitter, I just get like tagged in the replies. So people just reply to it or retweet it and they just tag me in it so that it fills up my Twitter.
Yeah, page. Right, man.
Which I already saw it in the first place because I follow Ron and generally find him a very enjoyable follow. So I get to see them all twice.
Ron, I feel like this was a good, I feel like this was a good Christmas season for you, like business wise.
Was it?
I feel like you finally got traction on the whole, like, I'm going to be like public Christmas man thing. Like, didn't you do some podcast appearances with like at Jared C about Christmas? This was a good business Christmas.
It really was. Yeah. I think what it's doing, it's stamping my identity as the reformed Christmas guy. So yeah, I did a little, Day podcast with Jared C about all things Christmas, wrote some Christmas articles that got out there on For the Church and some other things. Yeah, that was great.
Wow, what a dream come true.
Jared C is sort of surprisingly festive, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he has sort of a curmudgeonly demeanor occasionally online, you know, when he likes to publicly chastise people and things. But he gets all warm and fuzzy about Christmas.
Yeah, he's super warm and fuzzy. And his wife is kind of up there and on par with me in terms of like her love and devotion to Christmas. So there's definitely some like there's some tie-ins there for sure.
Wow, man, that's exciting. Now, how does it feel to be, you know, to have the die cast as like reformed Christmas man? This is what you've always wanted. Now, what's the next step? How do you parlay this into like, I don't know, even bigger and better things?
Yeah, I think so. Next move right now is a proposal for just an Advent book for teens and adults that I'm working on.
Now, didn't you just already do that?
Or? That was for kids, but I have it's an illustrated Advent book for teens and adults that I'm working on.
Wow! So, yeah, there we go.
That's the next. Well, that's one of the next steps. You know, there's many next steps. Big T, many next steps.
Filled with excitement and 20 making moves. Ron's making.
Oh, they're
moves.
Big. They're big.
Oh, they're huge. Making money moves, not to
so
quote.
Ron is going to make 2020 the year of Christmas or the year of Ronnie Christmas
the year of,
guy or like
the year of monetizing Christmas, Pipe. Just like.
Well, like I mean, I think there's an expectation.
Just like Walmart did.
There's an expectation going into Christmas now that, that I keep building on. But boys, I have other idea. It's not just Christmas. I mean, I want to expand my horizons a little bit.
Baby, tell us all about them. Bated breath is what we're waiting with over here. Me and Piper in our studios.
I don't know. What do you got?
What are you looking at?
I don't know. I don't feel at freedom to talk about it yet because they're not all sussed out. So, you know.
Oh, we're being coy now. We're just going to tease it and then pull back.
I'm waiting for them to get into sort of like prototype mode. I'm waiting to see if I can get traction on them before I like make the announcement.
Wow. You know?
Because I feel like what I've done with my Christmas novels that keep getting rejected is I keep pre-hyping everybody. And I don't want to keep pre-hyping everybody.
No, I don't want you pre-hyping. But can you – I've got two follow-up questions. Can you give us a hint as to like what's the nature of these big ideas? Like what kind of products could we be looking at?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're looking at some books, some writing, around the idea of what it's like to pastor in a rural church and what it's like to pastor with a wife. So
that's good. Now, could you make rural?
Wait, did you say your wife is a pastor?
No, I said what it's like to pastor with a wife.
Right, that could
Right.
Like, have a wife while you're pastoring.
Don't try.
I'm just trying to figure out if we need to, like, tell you to go home.
Yeah, don't try to set me up like that, man.
You know. Dude, Ron doesn't want to go home. That's the last place in the world he wants to go. Are you kidding me? That would be banishment of the worst kind, Piper. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, you did, because Pipe just tried to just derail me.
Dude, no. Okay, so it's books. It's books. And what scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, 1 being the least? Like, what's your level of excitement? Because I don't really get excited about new ideas anymore. And that's my stuff. That's my problem. But like, where are you at excitement wise?
Yeah,
like,
no,
in your 20s. Yeah, in your 20s, it would have been like an 8 or a 9 or a 10. But what is it now?
Well, no, I get that. And T, it's funny you say that, because I think over the last couple of years, I've been in a wilderness of non-excitement. Maybe that's where you're at now.
Yes.
But I feel like, yeah, totally. And I think, man, coming into the end of 2019, it's like that's been rekindled. So I'm actually really excited about a couple of these projects.
Really? How did that happen, man? How'd it work that it got rekindled?
I don't know.
Was the Christmas Man thing popping finally?
It wasn't, man. It was, I mean, to go a little deeper, it was having such a brutal end of 2019 year in ministry and some things that kind of, you know, unwound in my life. And it kind of created space for pursuing some of these things that I just haven't had the margin to do the last couple of years. So it just I don't know, it just kind of reinvigorated me, and now I feel pretty hyped. I feel pretty excited.
That's good. Wow.
And
glad that can happen. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it can happen.
I think it'll happen to you too, T. I think you'll come back. You'll reemerge.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's all like misery and despair for me. It's just like, I'm not excited about writing a book. You know what I mean? Like, something different, maybe.
Well, and you know, to be honest, I've only ever been excited about writing half a book, which is why I like co-authors. So,
yeah, I get it, dude. Yeah, I get it. I definitely get it.
I'm working on my fourth right now, and I'm only excited about writing half a book, but that's because I'm halfway through and would really like
to write 100 pages. You get to that point, and I just like being done after I feel that way. And if you have a co-author, you can be. It's awesome.
No, it's
And honestly, there's probably a lot of books that would be better if the author had only been excited for half and then quit.
But, definitely, dude.
Hopefully not mine or yours.
There are a lot of 200-page books out there that should have been 94 pages. But
and by that, you mean almost all of them.
By that, I mean almost all of them. 2020, boys. New decade, new year.
Tell us how you're feeling about 2020. I mean, is there anything on the horizon that kind of is getting you up in the morning and making you feel like this is like fresh start territory for Big T?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, it feels...
Moving on. Okay, Pipe.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, my question is, what is that supposed to be? Mm. Like, when you have the job that you want and you, like, kind of have done all the writing you want, like, for us, I don't know, and we're all writers, so we can all kind of have this conversation, like, but no, there's nothing. And like, in fact... The whole sort of manufactured excitement for a new year. Like, so my wife, I don't know, at the risk of offending people, I need to be coy about how I do this. But she used to back up north for a year, maybe a year, year and a half. I don't know. She worked in the marketing department of this company that sold like medical widgets. I don't know. But she's still on like the group chat with some of these people, and they're all real like kind of businessy and leadershipy. And it was a big sort of pseudo Christian Andy Stanley kind of company. And and they did this thing where they were like, you know, give us your three words that are going to define 2020. You know, just three single words. And you know, the group chat, it was all like, you know, vision and valley and you know, all this kind of faux deep, you know, pseudo whatever stuff. And I was like, I don't know, mine are like, don't get fatter,
time marches on.
I don't know, the same stuff. Those
dude,
are
all that's
words,
valid, but it's valid.
Yeah, it's valid. I don't know, I just
keep on ticking.
I think for me it's like I'm doing all the same stuff, right? And most of it I like teaching, I like writing. I'm playing semi-pro football. I like doing that. Don't get hurt would be my three words on that one. But like, I don't know. I'm still coaching.
No more concussions.
No more. I mean, it's all stuff I like. And by God's grace, I'll be able to keep doing it. And by God's grace, maybe, you know, he'll be glorified through me in some of it, I hope. But yeah, in a very real sense, there's no there's no kind of like I'm springing out of bed filled with false excitement for 2020. Like culturally, I feel like we're just kind of getting worse. I mean, there's not a lot to be super pumped about there. I don't feel like our discourse is getting any better as a nation. I don't know. So I don't know what like positive people do with a new year, but I would like to do some of it. You know what I mean? I'd like to talk myself into feeling super pumped about 2020. But Pipe, what do you make of all this, and what's your kind of technique with it?
I mean, it's a different sort of new year for me just because the previous several new years were, I mean, it was like rough year and hoping that the next year would be better. Yeah. And then the last year has actually been a really good year. And just in terms of, you know, switching jobs and writing projects and relational, being in a good relationship and just kind of all these things. And so I'm looking at 2020 and I'm like, I honestly don't really know. Yeah. I feel like things are good. Kind of like you where it's, I don't have anything that's sort of a, I'm going to like wrestle this thing down and accomplish it. I don't really care about accomplishments. Yeah. I think that's part of it is like, I've seen all over social media. They're like, what are five things you've accomplished this last year? I'm like, that just stresses me out.
Yeah.
Because that to think, cause then you just sort of look ahead and you're like, but what if I don't accomplish five more things or five better things or whatever? Mm. So I'm kind of in the same place as you where things are good in the sense of, you know, career, ministry, writing, relationship, just kind of everything. And so it's like, well, I hope I just handle all this well and am grateful for it. I mean, I have multiple things lined up to release this year publishing, but the work is already done for most of them. Yeah. It's just sort of the time frame. So I'm kind of like just waiting on those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get excited about much either though.
Yeah.
Like just in terms of, I know, shocking to everybody, but not really an enthusiast because to me that feels very manic and exhausting. Yeah. And then if things don't pan out, you just sort of plummet to the depths.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just sort of like, yeah, I think it'll be good. Then if it's good, you're satisfied. And if it's not good, you're like, well, what wasn't.
So you guys are saying manage your expectations is what I'm hearing.
Well, dude, no, I used to get super excited. And I don't so much anymore. And I don't know if that's a function of age or it's a function of just like getting excited a whole bunch of times and then having it not really live up to the excitement. So you stop going back to that. Well, but can I tell you boys something I'm really proud of from the end of 2019?
Fire away. It's all you.
Okay. So my lady is an extrovert, man. She is a seven on the Enneagram. She's super extroverted. She loves having fun. She loves big parties. And, I like parties too. I like them a little bit smaller probably. And a little more selective, but because she loves this big party thing, we decided to throw a big New Year's party at our house.
Wow.
And allow all of the people we invited to bring their kids, which fills me personally with just despair and anxiety because the idea of like 30 kids just like charging around my house just makes me want to go rock
Big
in a
T,
corner.
Are you saying
in a
30 kids
room.
Up until midnight too? So tired.
30 kids up until midnight.
Oh
the
God.
Whole
what,
deal.
What age range on these kids? Are these like toddlers?
Dude,
or like
no,
7-year-olds or 18?
But yeah, they're on the older side now, which is great. So probably half of them were junior high school, and then you know a few kind of upper grade school. We didn't have any like you know little slobbering kids running around like. You know, pulling books off of shelves or any of that nightmare. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, and it's funny, all of our friends know that I really don't like kids. And, so they were all really good natured about it, but I'm happy to report it was better than I expected. I had a really great time. And I feel like that was a little step out. For
growth,
Big T in terms,
it's called growth.
It's called like getting me just up to a baseline of like what a normal person feels. I think because
a social baseline.
Yeah, like most normal healthy people don't hate kids like I do. But no, man, it was really good. It was really fun. So I'm glad we did it. So I don't know. Maybe that's a good move going into 2020.
That's big.
Yeah, huge.
You know.
Yeah, that's strong. Just yeah, do it like one more time this year.
Yeah.
You know, don't set the bar too high. Be like, okay, so if you did New Year's, maybe you can do it like 4th of July.
Exactly.
And then they're mostly outside too. Yep. So if things get broken, like,
well, it's like those weird things where like you go. Sometimes you go into things and you're dreading them to the degree that without knowing it, you like prepare yourself in the dread to expect the worst. and then it ends up not even living up to what could have been the worst. And that sounds like what happened. So you're like surprised that it was like, but that it wasn't as bad as you thought it was, because man, you thought it was so bad that maybe it couldn't have even possibly been that bad, you know?
And totally.
That's great. And you know,
I'll say this too, man. And not to take it to too sentimental a level, but it was one of those moments where I realized, man, really thankful for my church, really thankful for the friends that the Lord has allowed us to have, even thankful for my kids' weirdo, you know, classical school, because they've made a lot of good friends there, a lot of whom were at the party. And yeah, I think the great thing about being a Christian is that these New Year's Eve parties, they aren't filled with sort of false expectation, right? And in many ways, it wasn't a New Year's Eve party at all, in that that party could have happened on like a Thursday in October and it would have been the same deal, right? It's just a whole bunch of people who really enjoy each other, enjoying each other, and talking and laughing and just doing what we normally do, rather than some contrived kind of 2020 is going to be awesome kind of thing. It was good.
A lot of that comes with just sort of, you reach a point in life where a party is not a, it's not a, you don't have to level up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it used to be like a New Year's party was like, we got to finish this year with a bang. And now it's like, congratulations, guys. We finished the year. Mm-hmm. We did it. So, yeah, it's just sort of enjoying friends and having good food and drinks and company and staying up an hour or two later than you normally would.
Exactly.
And then it's sort of fun to be like, Happy New Year on your way out the door because, you know, because the clock rolled over. But there's no sort of a, we have to define the year or define the next year by how we do this celebration.
Totally. And I'll tell you what's cool about getting older is that I think you do have a much clearer sense of what you enjoy. And, you know, you're able to like pull those things together in a much more efficient way. Whereas I feel like your 20s is just, you're casting about trying a whole bunch of different things, trying to figure out what you enjoy.
At like 26, you would have thrown like a toga party or something.
Oh, dude, yeah. You would have done something insane, you know, stupid thing. But yeah, it's good, man. It's really good. But something that is going to change in 2020, I think, boys, is the future of the magazine Christianity Today. And over the span of like 2 weeks, they were involved in a couple of controversies. Big mic drop by Mark Galley, that's his name, right? The guy who was the big, kind of the big head honch at CT over the years. And I've worked for Mark a little bit. Like I've done some writing for CT, and you guys probably have too over the years. And CT, like during my childhood and my young adulthood, was definitely like the magazine of record for quote unquote evangelicals, whatever we're calling evangelicals. And back when magazines were a thing, it was a magazine that you would see lying around the house of, you know, various Christian older people who you went to visit. And it kind of mattered. And I want to hear from you guys first before we get into like the specifics of the CT stuff. Does it still matter? And if so, who does it matter to and how much does it matter? Ronald, man of the cloth, new subscriber to CT. Lay it on us. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a new subscriber.
Congrats, baby.
Gosh, I don't know. I love magazines. So if I could, if I could get back all the money that I've spent on magazines, imported magazines, super expensive imported music magazines, just magazines of all shapes and sizes, mainly music magazines of different varieties and types. I mean, I love magazines. So this is the first.
Now, what do you love about magazines? I want to lean into that, because I kind of dig magazines too. So let's suss that.
Well, because a magazine is something you can that doesn't require to me a lot of commitment. It's sort of like it's like the eye candy of reading in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I love just reading short articles. I love pictures. I know I'm sounding like I'm 9 years old right now, but I love all that. And I love like the variety of magazines where it keeps my interest alive.
Yeah.
And a book is something you're kind of coming in and out of, you're putting down, you're picking up, and sometimes I can lose interest in that because of the volume of books, because there are no books that are only 100 pages. So I don't know, I just have always loved magazines, and so I haven't subscribed to a mag in years, man. So yeah. The CT Same. Thing, I got, you know, I'm like clicking, I'm reading through some of the CT stuff, and then I get sort of, I see this thing, hey, subscribe to CT for the year for like $1.75. I'm like, well, okay, you know. And so I did that, so I subscribed, and I don't know, there was this moment, I think about 10 to 15 years ago, when magazines were starting to get sort of gobbled up, and you were seeing magazines sort of disappear, and then there was sort of a resurgence in magazines, kind of like vinyl, to where they kind of came yeah. back. There are more magazines now, like print magazines now, than ever. And so it became kind of a boutique cottagey industry, whereas like everybody's doing their magazine, right? And it's like, it's print. Yeah. It's probably not every month and you can still get it online, but there's something about having the actual like product and the print in your hands. And so I think just on that like aesthetic, you know, sort of utilitarian level, like I love just like getting a magazine in the mail and being able to flip through it. So for me, yeah. getting something like CT, which I've never read, but hearing people like talk about CT and did you read that article in CT and having them post quotes from articles in CT, I feel like I'm a super latecomer to this whole party, but I'm actually really looking forward to getting this in the box once a month. And so I think there's a validity to magazines. I think in the sense that it gets your eyes off the screen and it gets you back to like reading in the more traditional sense. So I like that. I like that aspect of it. I think it's going to, I don't know. I'm just looking to see what kind of the fringe benefits of it are for me.
Speaking of fringe benefits, that's a good segue. Did you get any awesome, like, premiums with a subscription? So like when I was a kid, we always subscribed to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And you would always get some awesome, crappy, like, plastic football that was a phone. Like you could open it up and it was a telephone that would work for like a month and a half before it broke. And, you know, sometimes with a subscription, you would get Piper, you might be a little young for this, but they would send these videos called Crunch Course. And it was basically NFL highlights of like 30 minutes of dudes getting concussions, basically like huge, huge hits.
Back when we were allowed to celebrate.
When you would celebrate it, when you would put it to music and like cut the highlights together and call it a video.
Like the John Facenda.
Oh, dude. And I loved those, man. I like wore out my VHSs of Crunch Course. Those were like appointment viewing in my house. But any awesome premiums, Ron, with CT?
I think what they offered me was the very thing that I dread the most out of premium offers, which is I have about 296 content emails from them since I subscribed Absolutely. A week ago. And it's like, so look, get everything that you can't get in the print edition, you know, online. And we just want to be able to tell you that every day, just to remind you in case you forgot. So I have an inbox full of CT emails. So that's the helpful. Fringe. Yeah. That was the fringe bennies.
Dude. Now is anybody from our tribe writing for CT? Like, is there any overlap in the kind of gospel coalition Venn diagram and CT?
There are occasional contributors, but a lot of them are more on the, you know, like the Andy Crouch types who are like, they're respected, but they're not in the, he would not claim the tribe.
Dude, what's his shtick, Andy? He's like Harvard man, right? Like East Coast hyper-intellectual guy?
He's like,
what's his deal?
Yeah. Cultural formation, intellectual.
Oh, yeah.
I think he teaches a couple different places. He's a lecturer. I mean, he's brilliant and a great writer. But he's somebody who's very like well respected in the camp that we are part of, but not in it. And then they have people on staff there who would have kind of a foot in this world as well, like some of their editors and stuff. But that's the interesting thing about Christianity Today. You kind of ask like, what's their future? Are they relevant? Yeah. They're in a weird spot because they're sort of non-tribal.
Yeah,
and
you got to be tribal. In 2020.
To be really successful financially and kind of have a really locked in audience, you kind of do.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's the way things have trended, which is, I think, is a negative by and large, because it polarizes people. Mm-hmm. Whereas they need to be conversant in, they need to be conversant in like the mega church world and covering like the James McDonald scandal types of things on the journalistic side. They need to be conversant in the reform side of things because there's a lot of movement stuff happening there. They need to be aware of and conversant in, which is where the controversy came out of, the more sort of middle America, under-observed evangelical.
Yeah.
Like the quote-unquote 81% who voted for Trump, whatever that number means. I'm still not totally clear on that. But so they're in just sort of a weird middle ground where they need to maintain some sort of biblical orthodoxy. Yeah. While being well-versed in a variety of different church traditions and theological positions, while being able to put sort of a journalistic critical finger on things.
Yeah.
But then they drop an editorial that essentially says it's not a neutral thing at all, and it says it's time for evangelicals to abandon Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which of course then – The secular media gloms onto that because they look at it and go, oh, wow, they think this is really significant because this is Billy Graham's publication.
Yeah.
So the son of Billy Graham is one of Trump's biggest supporters. He ripped the article apart. Big controversy ensues, et cetera.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they matter from a journalistic standpoint. Like, it's really valuable to have neutral voices who are striving to give as objective as you can be observations on what is happening in the world of conservative Christianity.
Yeah. But
it's going to be really hard for them to be financially successful doing that because they're not part of any tribe.
Exactly. No, that's super well stated, and I agree 100%. And I think it's almost a cool artifact of a time back when we were less tribal. You know, a time that we can all remember, but a time that we're definitely not in now. And dude, do you think – so with this editorial, do you think that was essentially like the suicide note for CT? Was that the death rattle in that, like, I feel like they're going to lose a third of their subscribers over it probably, and that might be the end of it?
I doubt it. Yeah. Because I think they – I mean, I think they – it could just as easily – gain them credence with a whole bunch of people who are, because the majority of evangelicals, I don't think are as pro-Trump as the statistics indicate.
Yeah.
I think there's still a really weird marriage to the Republican Party in a lot of conservative Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think also that CT's subscription numbers are so low, mm-hmm, relative to the number of self-proclaimed evangelicals that if they lost a portion, they could easily gain back significantly more than that by being objective as opposed to, you know, sort of,
yeah,
kowtowing to the Republican Party like some conservative publications do. So I don't think it's probably a death rattle. I think if anything, it probably gains the respect of people like us who are like, oh, good. Like they're still trying.
Yeah.
They're not just giving up. They're showing some level of journalistic integrity. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously what they wrote, I agree with. Mm-hmm. So that works for me, but, I don't know. I think they're going to live on a knife's edge, and they have been for years.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of years they've been, you know, they used to run like 10 magazines,
yeah,
you know, and then they started shutting them down or moving them online. So Christianity Today is still going fairly strong, I think, mm-hmm, but they don't do Leadership Journal or some of these, I don't know, they did like motherhood magazines and different things,
sure,
too. So I think that they've already had to try to navigate what Ron was talking about, where magazines just sort of tanked,
yeah,
and then became more specialized in boutique. And they've done a pretty good job. They've restructured their staff. They've got good people.
Yeah. Pipe, this is a digression, like a slight digression, but it's still in the magazine space. Does Wheaton College do an alumni magazine, and does it come to your house?
It does.
What's it like?
And
because
yeah,
Taylor's is like, it comes encased in like industrial grade plastic. Like I have to get out like a chainsaw to like get into the magazine. And I mean, it's very like standard college magazine from there, yeah, on. But you know, puff pieces about like the head of our agency was in one of the puff pieces this month.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
About
the Wogel.
Yeah, about how he married.
Nancy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. What's Wheaton's like?
So back to what Ron was saying earlier about enjoying magazines.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that is the most enjoyable about a good magazine is the layout.
Yeah.
You know, a really well designed. It's a, mm-hmm, really, it's a pleasurable aesthetic experience.
Yeah.
Wheaton's is like that mixed with Academic Journal.
Okay.
So it's, you have to imagine a magazine that could end up on like the desk of a member of Congress, because sure. that's who Whedon has produced like two of those ever, yeah. but that's how we
view ourselves. That's what they hang their hat on.
So when I read it, I look at it and I go, this does not reflect anybody I went to college with except like the 2%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of aimed at that.
Dude, so do you get the, are you getting the feature on the, you know, the guy wearing the bandana covered in mud solving Africa's groundwater problems? Because you can set your watch by that in the Taylor mag. There's always a little bit of that, you know.
They do a little bit. So they focus a little bit on current students, you know, what do they love about Whedon, things like that. But it's almost always featuring somebody who graduated 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And kind of their legacy of faithfulness or whatever.
Yeah.
The parts that are fun are like they show every fall they have the photos of the second, third, fourth, fifth generation Whedon students.
Yeah.
There's a little news update by graduation year, so you can go look for your year and be like, oh, so-and-so had child number 3 or wrote a book or started a business.
Or number 9 if they're reformed.
Yeah, not as many of those at Whedon as maybe some other places. Yeah, not a lot of 9 children families, but maybe a few. But yeah, it feels very formal.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, stiff,
yep.
Like sort of cardboardy cover.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very crisp, clean, uh-huh. No advertisements.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, I always thumb through it, usually read, you know, one article and the news features, and that's about it.
Here's a question, and this is not, I don't know, don't read too much into this, but does it fill you with despair? If so, like 10 being the most despair, 1 being the least, asking for myself. Because the Taylor magazine weirdly does, but yet I devour like every word of it. I can't explain it.
Okay, well, let me ask, before I answer, let me ask you why, so I can figure out like what, the answer is no, it doesn't fill me with despair. So it'd be like a, I don't know, 2.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm thinking about this very differently than you are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same reason I'm not on social media, which is just the sense that like, when I'm confronted with stuff like that, feeling like you can't help but compare your own life to the grandeur of what you're seeing in the magazine or on social media or whatever the case may be. So it's not always like a localized personal despair. It's more just, I get sad over things that kind of never change, in the sense of like, if you look at one of these magazines from 12 years ago, it's the same as the one that just came, you know what I mean? Which is why I would be bad at running a college alumni magazine. Like I would be the worst editor in chief of one of those ever, because I would want to like blow it up and do a completely new thing every time, well, you know.
I don't feel despair because I think I'm too sort of cynical to be despairing over it, because I look at it and I'm like, oh, this is a donor piece.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
This is purely so like there's an alumni office on campus, and their job is
to stroke like the same 12 people. You know,
it is not to accurately reflect the lives of every alumni.
Yeah.
It is to curate the stories of alumni that will keep people feeling confident in this, you know, the solid academic reputation and evangelical reputation of Whedon, so that they'll keep giving money. And if you look at it that way, you're like, yeah, they do a really good job of that. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Go get the 1%ers.
I guess that's the part that makes me sad, man. And it's why I'm bad at being an adult, you guys. I suck at adulthood because I'm not pragmatic enough to go, all right, it's time to do another magazine. You know, let's make sure we like puff up the same dozen people who give us most of our money.
No, you know? Baby, I'm with you, by the way. So
I'm bad at it, baby.
I've been quiet. I've been listening, and yeah. I definitely would steer more your way. So like when things from the past come up and people want to dialogue about how things have moved on and how do you feel about your contribution towards this? I don't even mainly about music stuff. I just don't want to revisit it. I don't want to go back to it. And it does, it kind of produces some sense of like despondency in me. I don't know where that comes from, but it's weirdly just, you know, I have a weird pushback against it.
Well, dude, and I think it's, yeah, it dovetails with aging in the sense that by the time you're our age, you realize like, okay, so the alumni magazine, it's not a magazine, right? It's a donor stroke piece. And you realize that, like, by and large, awards, at least at the university, aren't awards. They're aimed at, like, you know, kind of setting the hook for a certain donor or whatever. So you give them this, like, meritorious alumni award because you want them to turn around and, like, you know, write a huge check to the university. And it's the sucky part of getting older and realizing things are not what they, not what you thought they were. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Memorabilia in a weird way. It's like you get those, you get those magazines, or you get those conversations that pop up, or you get people that like send you like artifacts that you were part of from the past, and they want you to riff on them. And they have a certain kind of nostalgia about them that because you were involved in it, you just maybe can't have. And so for me, it's just like, I have to keep like sort of in, even if it's very slow and slightly non-progressive, I have to be moving forward, you know? So to look back at something that I can't be a part of any longer or wish to be a part of any longer, or if I was, it would be like the old guy trying to relive the glory days. And I don't like that at all. And so like, to me, there's like, I mean, it represents something in my life that says, hey, that has to remain where it is. But I also don't have to, keep trying to like relive it either, because that does something like bad to my soul in some weird way.
Dude, no, I enjoy reliving things that I wasn't a part of. Like I read old magazines.
Absolute 100%.
Like I have all my old magazines from like childhood, and I will
often
like revisit them in a way that's joyful. But yeah, I agree. Like sort of revisiting things that we were a part of. It's
an Enneagram 4 thing, I think. You're a 4, right?
I think it must be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe 4, wing 3.
Yeah.
I think that does have something to do with it. So, dude, why hasn't anybody in the reform camp tried a magazine? I feel like this would have happened by now.
Pipe,
you know what I mean?
Pipe, has anybody not tried it? Is there no reformed mag?
I think there's a couple like theological ones that are sort of attached to seminaries.
Or like, what's that one that's attached to TGC called Theophilus? Or what is it?
I don't know. Yeah, it's got like a Greek or Latin name, whatever. Go figure.
The Andy Nocelli.
But those, I mean, yes, I think so. But those are, I mean, they're that's like a theological journal. Yeah. That's where, you know, when you get to our camp, you get in, they're not magazines, they're journals.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what the difference is, except that I think you don't need to have a designer for a journal.
Magazines have a readership and a designer, and journals lack both things.
Okay, cool. There you go. Sums it up.
Dude, journals are just like, if you get published in a journal, it's just like a resume slapper, you know? Like, that's it. Nobody actually reads the stuff.
Yeah, I think the other piece is like gospel, the TGC is a magazine. It's just a webzine.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, you know, it's a bunch of articles. It's sort of laid out tile fashion. There's a bunch of advertisers. You know, they have their regular contributors, and then they're submitted contributors. They periodically make statements on things, sort of the editorial overlords. So I mean, that's magazine-ish.
Yeah.
Desiring God is the same thing, just super tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Table Talk, Ligonier. And it's like a smaller, almost more devotional magazine. But again, they know that's their jam. They're like, this is a magazine. It's about theology. It's about prayer. It's about church life. You know, that kind of stuff. And they do a really good job. It's
very
consistent.
By the way, I still get that.
Of the Christian publications, I'd say World Magazine is one of the better ones on sort of the journalistic consistency side. They obviously have a very conservative stance on things, but if you know that going in, they do a good job. And then Table Talk on the more sort of feed your soul side of things, they both do. They're both good.
You know what else too about both of those magazines? Dope titles. Like World. I mean, you got to be pretty like brassy. You got to be full of yourself to call your magazine. You know what? Let's just call it World.
Boys, let's start a magazine called Universe. Magazine.
Universe. I was just going to say, man.
Galaxy.
We got to level one up. Yeah, Galaxy Magazine.
Well, so I was just thinking about this because I was watching a video clip of Trevor Noah interviewing the new Miss Universe, who's from South Africa, you know, momentous historic thing. And it just got me thinking of like Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Like if there's life on other planets, you know, they're like, hey, we didn't even get included
like,
in this.
Like this girl is better than like any other life form on any planet.
And you know, there's some like Norwegian magazine who's like, wait, why do they get to be World?
Yeah,
that's just America. Exactly. Like, what about us?
I know it. I like the swagger on World Magazine. Marvin Alasky doing work.
Yeah, he just
Mike. Dude, Galaxy Magazine. That's our future pub.
Galaxy Mag, baby. Yeah. Real futuristic kind of vibe to it.
Galaxy Mag sounds like something that the alter ego for a superhero wrote it's like the
it
Daily
sounds
Planet.
Very Star Wars. You know? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Galaxy Mag. That's our next project. That might get me excited in 2020.
Galaxy
but no, Mag. I really Galaxy Mag. I really like the name Table Talk too, though. I think Table Talk is kind of a
thing.
Kind of a kind of.
Table talk is a great one because, like, if you don't know what it is, it just sounds like, sure, that sounds reasonable. Yeah. If you do know what it is, you're like, oh, that's a deep cut Reformed reference.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a Martin Luther gathering people around his table once a week to talk theology and argue and drink beer, which is the most, like, what's more Reformed
than
that?
That's the most Reformedest thing ever.
Right. But, and it also sounds vaguely culty. Yeah. It sounds a little bit like the Watchtower or something, you know, just a little bit.
You know, I don't ride with that theology, but the Watchtower is a dope name too. I always kind of
really is.
I always tip my cap to that when those people like leave those on my doorstep. I'm like, yeah, this is jank, but
like you wish it wasn't jank. You wish
I won't
you
read it.
Used it right. It's one of those things. Yeah. It's like it'll always be associated with that. But like, man, it's a word that's not even like on the table anymore.
I know it.
It sounds very 1984. It's very George Orwell.
I dig it though, and the design like sensibilities have stayed in 1984 as well.
I was gonna say also for 1984.
Exactly. Gotta respect that. But boys. Something that isn't very 1984, something that's very now, very 2020, very in the moment. It's an app that you can get for your phone. It's called Dwell Bible. And we are business partners with Dwell. We have a relationship with Dwell, a worldwide relationship, if you will. So
a galactical.
it's galactical. It's global.
It's a galaxy
app. It's a galaxy-wide app. So like wherever you are.
To be fair, Samsung does make the Galaxy phone. So it is in fact.
Hold on, I'm on Samsung.com typing in Galaxy.
Crushed. So wherever you are in the galaxy, you could listen to people reading the Bible out loud via Dwell. So Piper, tell us about that. Tell us about our favorite business partner, Dwell Bible.
I think they are our favorite business partner currently.
They're our only business partner currently. So,
given the sad demise of our coffee relationship, which
still,
is you know
still
it was amicable.
Yeah, it was amicable.
Yeah, we'll have to break that one down. Yeah. All right, so Dwell Bible app listeners, if you haven't heard of this before, that just means you're a new listener because we've done this before. It is an audio Bible app, so there's a cost to it. It's not a free one, but that's because they're constantly building in new features, adding new narrators. There are listening plans. So it is still early enough in the year that for those of you who, you know, you said you want to be in the Bible more this year, maybe you want to read through the Bible in a year, but you have found that already to be more challenging than you anticipated. Listening is a great way to do it because you're in your car, you're going for a run, you're, you know, carpooling kids, whatever it is you're doing, and you can just pop this on. It normally costs $30 a year, so that's less than $3 a month. But with the Happy Rant discount, it's $20 a year, or you can get a lifetime subscription for $100. So that's – and again, they continually upgrade, add features. They have features to help you memorize, to meditate. They have music built in, all sorts of different things. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can get all the details there. Again, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant. Now's a great time to jump in, get in the habit of listening or listen accompanying your reading. I use it mostly when I am either in a really bad mood, stuck in traffic, because I find it very beneficial, or when I'm getting ready to teach or lead a study, just to kind of have the text running through my mind consistently and just sort of massage it in a little bit. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, get your 33% discount. It's very affordable. You will love it. Check it out.
Fantastic work, Pipe. Great first promo for 2020. We look forward to many more because that means we have many more sponsorship dollars rolling in. I think my resolution for 2020 is to level up the program, man. To get us, we need to get into those big, sweet, like national advertisers in 2020. Galactical, yeah. Like so, wherever you are in the galaxy, you can like buy some of those high end products. So. Boys, that's a
should we give a brief breakdown of how why we're no longer like we don't have Ligaris Roasters featured anywhere anymore, and it doesn't feel right to me to just sort of quietly part ways as opposed to giving
a clear
first of all Hector needs to have the full story fairly given so that people don't think negatively of him because he was an awesome partner for what, like two years?
Amazing it was partner, great. Man, and kept our coffers full of money and coffee you know, it was a magical relationship. And boys, I've got to tell you how it ended. Was at church a few weeks ago, worshiping, and Heck Lagaris came to me across the lobby, and always a joyful moment, right? When you see the king of coffee approach you across the lobby, and we chatted, and I saw him get kind of sullen, kind of serious, and almost maybe had a tear in his eye when he told me that he would no longer be selling coffee online. So it's not just the Happier Ant signature blend that is no longer, the entire Lagaris online coffee empire is no longer. And Heck has some other irons in the fire business wise. He's become a real estate tycoon here in the area, and I think just you know, building his real estate empire has cut into his coffee making time. So it was an amicable parting. I'm not going to say there wasn't tears shed. I mean, you know, there was a lot of sadness and despair that morning. I'm glad you guys didn't have to see it. But we are where we are, boys, and where we are, and this is a segue hopefully into a hopeful thing. We are now free agents again in the coffee business. And
don't speak too soon.
Really?
Conversations have been had this week with another very well thought of.
Okay.
Coffee roaster. Now, just to be clear, this is like, we are not jumping from relationship to relationship.
No,
this
no.
isn't like some rebound relationship thing. This
gosh,
is a,
no.
you know, we're trying to take our time, make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we may not be free agents for long. Oh. Conversations have been had. Good things are in process. But it may be a few weeks before it's completely lined up.
Piper, you have no idea how encouraging that is to me, because I got to tell you, for the last several days, just getting out of bed in the morning and looking at myself in the mirror and realizing I'm no longer a coffee tycoon. I tell you, I don't even know who I am anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, just think of it this way. You know how Steve Jobs started Apple and then they fired
yeah.
him? And then he came back and rebuilt Apple into the, you know, technical superpower that it
Absolutely.
Is.
That's going to be us with coffee.
We kind of got fired by coffee, but we're going to come back strong.
Dude, we are. We're going to go back to work with coffee real soon. And what a great note to end on, Piper. I'm massively encouraged by that. I can't wait to try this new hypothetical coffee and see where the relationship goes. But boys, we have done what we always do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.